ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी विल रीड द टेक्स्ट 30 एंड सिंस टेक्स्ट 30 हैज नो पर्पोर्ट देन वी विल टेक अप टेक्स्ट 31। इज दैट द वे वी डू इट। मृणला गौरं स्थिति वशसं स्फुरत् किरीटा केयूरा कतिरा कंकणम् प्रसन्न वक्त्ररुण लोचनम वृतम् ददर्श सिद्धेश्वर मंडले प्रभुम्। ट्रांसलेशन। अपॉन रीचिंग द शेल्टर ऑफ लॉर्ड शेष द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडेड चित्रकेतु saw that he was as white as the white fibers of a lotus flower. He was dressed in bluish garments and adorned with a brilliantly glittering helmet, armlets, belt and bangles. His face was smiling and his eyes were reddish. He was surrounded by such exalted liberated persons as Sanat Kumar. Text 31. तदर्शन दृष्ट समस्त किल विषय स्वस्थ मालानोक्त करनो अभियान मुने प्रव्यद्ध भक्त्या प्रणय श्लोचना प्रियस्त रोमा मदन आदि पुरुषम। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As soon as Maharaj Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord, he was cleansed of all material contamination and situated in his original Krishna consciousness, being completely purified. He became silent and grave, and because of love for the Lord, tears fell from his eyes and his hairs stood on end. With great devotion and love, he offered respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead. Purport. The word Tad Darshana Drishta Samasta Kil Bishai is very important in this verse. If one regularly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple, one will gradually be disinfected of all material desires simply by visiting the temple and seeing the deity. When one is freed from all the results of sinful activities, one will be purified, and with a healthy mind, completely cleansed, he will increasingly make progress in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing this very, very beautiful passage and pastime from Bhagavatam. And the way Srila Prabhupada has given us this process of every day hearing the Bhagavatam verse by verse, it's such a magnificent process that slowly the pastime gets revealed to us. When something is revealed in one shot, it is very exciting. But if something is revealed part by part, it is much more exciting. That's why, you know, if in our karmi days, we used to see television, and at the very climax of a particular program, they would close down and say next, it will be next week. So everybody is glued to next week because they want to see. I remember Mahabharat serial was designed in such a way that when really climax, when Arjun was right in front of Karna and he was about to shoot arrow, they would close down and they said, and we would be waiting to see what happens next. Similarly, here also, by this wonderful process of Prabhupada, slowly the beautiful pastime is being revealed one verse by verse to the hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what we are seeing now is a very, very important portion of the pastime. When you offer the lotus to the Lord, this lotus, the usually lotus flowers are closed. Then we have to open petal by petal. And the whole lotus opens. And what is revealed in front of us is the inner world, which is very beautiful. And the overall lotus becomes very beautiful. But it is petal by petal. Similarly, my dear friends, what is happening today is it's a very encouraging and a very amazing verse. What began as a attached householder in the form of Chitraketu Maharaj, lamenting for not having a child, marrying thousands and thousands of wives just to get a child. That means he was a quite attached householder, wanting to really grow his family and do all the ordinary duties of family life. What began is now ending into a particular situation where he is face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what happens in between is a process. There was a beginning, there is a culmination which we are about to see, and what happened is a process. And that's what we all are supposed to learn. The process of being face to face with the Lord. We all have began our spiritual life similar to Chitraketu Maharaj. Or rather, before we began spiritual life, I mean. We were all attached people, and we, to a very good extent, we all are still. But we are in a process of gradual detachment. So in verse 30, what is happening is, after receiving the mantra from Narad Muni, Chitraketu Maharaj very diligently follows the process as given by his spiritual master and is face to face with the Lord. And verse 30 beautifully explains the form of the Lord, which is very important for all of us to understand. Srila Prabhupada was famous. In fact, his pranam mantra, which speaks about his mood, speaks very, very clearly. Nirvishesha Shunyavad. He was a person who really fought against Nirvishesh and Shunyavad. Mayavad, Shunyavad, and everything that is similar to these two things. So here, this verse, the verse 30 says, upon reaching the shelter of Lord Shesha, the Supreme Person of God, Chitraketu, saw. This is when he saw, that means this is Aankho Dekha Hal. What we call, right? That we used to observe cricket. And say, Aankho Dekha Hal. The commentator is seeing and he's narrating. So what we are seeing right now is something which Chitraketu Maharaj saw with his own eyes. It's been revealed to us by Sukadeva Goswami through Parikshit Maharaj. And he's saying that the Lord was white. He was dressed in bluish garments. He was adorned with a brilliantly glittering helmet, armlets, belt and bangles. His face was smiling. His eyes were reddish. And was surrounded by exalted personalities as Sanat Kumar. So this verse more than anything establishes that Krishna or Supreme Person of Godhead is a person. And not only an ordinary person. He is a very beautiful person. And not only a very beautiful person, he is a very beautifully opulent person. Because he is wearing opulent clothes. And not only beautifully opulent person, but is a beautiful, opulent, smiling person. He is having a beautiful smile. He is a happy person. And not only all these things, but he is being served by many, many great personalities. That means he is not alone. There are many, many people around with him. And the great personalities like Sanat Kumar are serving him. That means if the great people are serving the Lord, that means he is the supreme great. So this verse very strongly establishes the fact that Krishna is a person. He has a dress. He has a smile. He has his associates. For us, because we are students of Bhagavatam, this such verses come again and again. And many times we don't really take it seriously. Very good. Well, we hear the description of the Lord so often. But we should understand how fortunate we are. For 99% of people, they have no understanding of what the form of the Lord is all about. They don't even know that a Lord is a form. Isn't it? So when such verses come, it is not that we just say, well, go further. But it is so important, so very important to understand and get more and more convinced that Lord is a person like you and me. Beautiful dresses he wears, has many associates. And he stays in a spiritual world which is very, very beautiful. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataro Druma Bhumishin Tamani Ganamai Tom Amritam Katha Ganam Natim Gamanam Apivamshi Priya Shakit Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Tadashwadam Vicha. The whole verse, the last verse of Brahma Samhita, describes the beauty of the spiritual world. Why is the spiritual world so beautiful? Whenever we see photographs, you know, we have beautiful photographs in front of our eyes. We see all the beautiful windows to the spiritual world, as Prabhupada called them. Do you see any of the photographs being painted where there is some dirt? It's a beautiful place. When we see descriptions in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, we see that the Jamuna is flowing, the birds are chirping, the trees are beautifully blossoming. Everything is so wonderful, especially when you read the description of Vrindavan in the monsoon. Just now we are having torrential rain. And describes that whole Vrindavan becomes so clean because the rains pour in and they clean all the beautiful the mountains of Vrindavan. And the whole place is very spick and span, sparkling, very clean. So the spiritual world is a very, very clean place. Why is it clean? Because what is without is nothing but a manifestation of what is within. What is without is nothing but a manifestation of what is within. When people are having very clean consciousness, automatically the environment where they are staying is also clean. And to the same extent, people in the material world are diseased, in a diseased, infected condition. And that's why we see the material world is filled with, is a filthy, dirty place. Right? Material world is a dirty place. It's disgusting. It's just that there is some beauty. But otherwise, practically the whole world, if you see everywhere, there stinks. Have you noticed this? Wherever we walk, we hear, we smell something. We don't see fragrance. That's why when we have a fragrance, it's a very nice thing. Otherwise, the whole world is stinking. Have you noticed that? When you go, you know, not much in India, but overseas, when you go to countries like Singapore, Hong Kong, and few other, many, most of the, you know, Western countries, every street, Gaur Govind Prabhu is here, he was here. Every street, when you walk, it stinks. Right, Krishna Prabhu? Every street, it stinks. Why? Because everything is dirty. Because they are eating dirty things. I was speaking to one of our devotees, Vraj Kishore Prabhu, in America, and he has his people in his workplace who are Americans. Literally, honestly, many of them, they take bath every 3-4 days. But they put a lot of perfume. Because they're so lazy, dirty people. Material world is a dirty place. The reason is because there's dirt within. So many times we have heard, and Radhana Swami quoting, that is there really a problem of pollution? The problem of pollution is not because there are so many vehicles, it's because of greed within, which is manifested outside pollution. The melting ice caps is not because of some natural phenomenon, it's because of the greed of human civilization. So whatever problems, whatever happening is in the material world is nothing but a manifestation of the dirt within. We are infected people. We are suffering from bhava rog. Right? We are suffering from the disease of material life. And when we are suffering from a disease, it is important that we understand how to get rid of the disease. How to get disinfected. Is it not? And Prabhupada writes beautiful in this purport. If we regularly see the Supreme Personality of God in the temple, one will gradually be disinfected of the material desires. Simply by visiting the temple and seeing the deities. Prabhupada's purport is so brilliant. He's saying that the fact is, talking about disinfection, that means we all are infected people. We're infected by Bhavarog. So, it is important that we understand how to get disinfected, and that's the whole process in the material world. That's the whole purpose of this material world. That's the whole purpose of being in Krishna consciousness, to get disinfected. And Chitraketu Maharaj is a brilliant example of this transformation. Parivartan. From an infected personality in the form of having tremendous desires for sense pleasure, here we have a person who is completely pure to the extent that he is face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When I was reading this verse is a very, very hope-giving, pleasure-giving verses. Because we have some hope. When we see people like Chitraketu Maharaj, who have been mentioned in Bhagavatam, because they followed the orders of the spiritual master, because they do complete shelter, Guru Pad Ashray. It is by the mercy of one gets it, by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna, and by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. So in this case, when Chitraketu Maharaj completely surrendered to Narad Muni, and was chanting this beautiful verse or this mantra that he was been given by Narad Muni, in matter of a very short time, he was face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very encouraging, very enlivening verse. Similarly, if we follow the process of Krishna consciousness by following the order of the spiritual master, it's a matter of time that we'll be face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says in this that the verse Tat Darshana Dvishta Samasta Kilbisha is very important. That whatever little infection that was still remaining in the heart of Chitraketu Maharaj was completely wiped out when he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, one of the names in Vishnu Sahasranam, is called Pavitra. He's pure. We chant this very important verse. Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavasam Katopiva Yatsmare Pundri Kaksha Sa Bhaya Abhyantara Suchi. That Krishna is pure, and we chant his holy names, which are non different from Krishna. We are purified from within and without. That's the qualification. That's the great mercy of Krishna, that he purifies our heart. He disinfects our heart. And how do we do that? By so many varieties of processes. And one of the processes as mentioned here is by having the beautiful darshan of the Lord. But there's a difference between having the darshan of the Lord and really having the darshan. So many of us, every day we are so fortunate that we get darshan of the Supreme Personality of God is standing in front of us, being invited by the pure devotee. This murti is non-different from Sri Radha Gopinath and Lalita Vishakha of the spiritual world. Absolutely no difference. Prabhupada, in one of the purports to one verse when he talks about Dhruva Maharaj, he very clearly explains that there's absolutely no difference between the Supreme Personality of God in the spiritual world and the Archa Vigraha Murti in the temple. No difference. Absolutely 100% the same. But why are we not becoming pure to the extent that Chitraketu Maharaj became pure? What is the reason? Because as explained, there's a difference between having the darshan and really having the darshan. And what's the difference? Eagerness. The great eagerness that we require to really see the Lord. Many times we take spiritual life so very casually. We are not very eager. The superlative degree of eagerness is desperation. When eagerness is amplified, when we go to the superlative degree of eagerness, that becomes desperation. We do not have the eagerness or the desperation to take shelter of the Lord. And because we do not have the eagerness or the desperation, we are not purified to the extent the Lord can purify us by His darshan. We are taking it for granted. Today, the pujari told me that the small deities, Gopijan Vallabha, they are not shining nowadays. He said the pujaris are not really rubbing so hard. And I was feeling very bad. I said, it's so sad that we are so unfortunate people that we are getting the chance to serve the Lord directly, and we know for sure when we scrub the Lord, it's going to be purifying our heart. It's going to purify my heart when I scrub the Lord. When Lord is shining, my heart is going to shine. But we are so dull that we just do it superficially and allow the Lord to not shine. That's our unfortunate condition. And the reason of this is because we take Krishna consciousness and the process very, very lightly. We are not very eager. We are not very desperate to take the shelter of the Lord. When we come in front of deities, it is not that just we have darshan casually. The darshan of the deity should be taken as if we are desperately crying out from the Lord. The way Chitraketu Maharaj, as you go further, the verses will explain of how beautifully he was offering prayers to the Lord. So this darshan taking is a science. And we will not be very, very, we will not do a good job if we are not eager. A similar situation happens where there is instant purification in the life of Narad Muni. Narad Muni in his previous life, it is explained in this verse, I don't remember the verse, but the verse says, Samasta Kilbisha is the same thing. That when he took the Mahaprasad of the Bhakti Vedantas with their permission, in matter of no time, his heart was completely purified. Why was this happening? And it is explained in the purport by Prabhupada. Because Narad Muni was very, very convinced and very eager to honor the Mahaprasad of the Bhakti Vedantas. The purification is directly proportional to the eagerness. It is said by Krishna, Ye atha mam prapadyante tam sitavya bhajamyaham, that I reciprocate the way you approach me. So talking in the positive sense, when does Krishna reciprocate in the positive way to us? When he sees the eagerness. When he sees the desperation in our approach, Krishna will manifest. And to the next, in this regard, there's a beautiful, very, very important pastime in the life of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Is one of the most historic pastimes that we all need to understand, which exemplifies this particular aspect of having darshan of the Lord. It was when the first time Dabir Khasa Sakar Malik met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Ramakeli. If we understand what was the eagerness and desperation of these two personalities. They were born in very, very aristocratic, Brahmin families. No, what is that? Kayasta family, Brahmana families. Sarasvat Brahman families. And they were great devotees of the Lord. But because some or the other, because of the rule of this Nawab, they had to serve. Because he said, if you don't serve, then we will trouble the devotees. So they're serving as very, very high post ministers for Nawab Hussain Shah. And while they were serving this, you know, this Shah, they were in such difficult situation. In many of us, I was just thinking, many of us complain that my workplace, I have to work with non-devotees. There's so many non-devotees. Many of us are working people, right? And we said, they're non-devotees. They're not really good people. They're not devotees. But can you imagine what was the workplace of Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas? They were staying 24 hours with lechers and yavanas. That was the workplace. And they never complained. They were just waiting eagerly for the Lord's mercy to come upon them. And they would constantly write letters to the Lord, showing their eagerness. Please understand, this is a very, very important pastime. They were constantly in touch with the Lord, and the Lord just, you know, sent one message to them. What was the message? He said, when a wife has a paramour, she serves the husband with more diligence, waiting of when she will be with the paramour. And Dabir Khas Sakar Malik were simply happy to get this message, and they knew that what the Lord wants us to do is simply wait for the mercy to come upon us. Every day, the eagerness was growing. Or when will that time come when we can have darshan of Lord Chaitanya? They were just waiting, and days and months and years passed by. And then one fine day, they got a message that Lord Chaitanya is going to be in Ramakeli. And they went, the three brothers, Shantosh, Anand and Anupam, they went. And the amount of eagerness and desperation that they had, they took the grass in between them. And when they first saw the Lord, the first darshan of the Lord, they had ecstatic symptoms. Their body was shivering, their hairs were standing on ends, their eyes were filled with tears. And in complete humility, they offered Shastang Dandavat Pranams again and again and again to the Lord. It is there that this beautiful verse was composed. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratyushe Namaha. Rupa Goswami composed this beautiful verse and offered as a gift to Lord Chaitanya when he first had darshan of the Lord. This is the process of having the darshan of the Lord, who is non-different in the form of this deity. But we are so casual. Very, very casual approach. And that's why we are not getting the progress. So we might come for years together to the temple and have the darshan of the Lord, but we will not have any progress, or we'll make very minimal progress, because we are not seeking the shelter of the Lord. And we cannot seek the shelter unless and until we have the eagerness to do so. Just like the way Rup and Sanatan had the eagerness to take shelter of the Lord. And if we don't have the eagerness and we don't take shelter of the Lord, we will not get disinfected from the Bhava Rog. It will be impossible. So it is very, very important to understand the signs of having darshan. And this purification, or rather the aspect of purification, is not only restricted to having darshan of the Lord, but it is present in the Lord's holy names. The same effect, what is the Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Abhinatva Nama Namino? It is pure, Purna Shuddha. And when we come in association with the all pure, we become pure. Krishna is explained, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnash Purnamudachite Purnashya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vishishyate. The Krishna is perfect and complete and all pure. And when anyone who is connected to Krishna, he becomes all pure. When we get in touch with fire, we become fiery. And when we come in touch with Krishna, when we really are in touch with Krishna, not superficially, but actually. And that real touch of Krishna is the eagerness. The way we honor prasad, the way we chant our rounds, the way we meet devotees. is explained in this beautiful verse, this bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. He said that darshane pavitra karo ye tomara gun. That it said that thus by your darshan, a Vaishnava will purify you. But how will that happen? It will not happen unless until you are eager to meet that Vaishnav. It is actually said it is an offense to not be happy when you see a Vaishnav. It's offense. And not only we have to avoid this offense, but we have to be positive. We have to actually be happy when we see a Vaishnav. And when you see that Vaishnav, we are happy, purification happens. Because a Vaishnava is nothing but a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. Sadhu Sangha is a birthplace of Krishna Bhakti. Where does Krishna take birth? It is in Sadhu Sangha. What a wonderful statement from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Sadhu Sangha is a birthplace of Bhakti. So if you want Krishna to be born, he'll be born only in Sadhu Sangha. And if you're not happy, if you're not really approaching a devotee with eagerness, and of course, if you want to be eager to meet a devotee, then we have to have a good relationship with the devotee. That means we should avoid bad relationship, because if you have bad relations, how can we be happy? We will think of all the, oh, Bapre aa gaya. This person has come. I don't want to meet him. I want to run away. That's the situation. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is a positive process. Maharaj Katvanga, why do all these great people become, how come they become so pure in such a short time? Because of eagerness. Parikshit Maharaj, while he's hearing this verse, he's so very eager. He's like the Chataka bird, eagerly waiting for that nectar to fall from the clouds. We should all be eager. And if you follow the process, like Chitraketu Maharaj, follow the process of Guru Maharaj's, the way Guru Maharaj has given the process of chanting, of dancing, of eating prasadam with eagerness. I remember this, in one of the lectures, Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining with graphic details that there's a difference between cutting a potato and really cutting a potato. And of course, it sounds the same. What is this really cutting a potato? What does it mean? We do it with eagerness and with love. My dear friends, what we really lack is love. What we really lack is a consciousness. Our society is called Society of Krishna Consciousness and not Krishna Activity. It's not activity that is important, it is the consciousness that is important. Radha Gopinath Prabhu is going to give a class on prayer. Now, what is it? Be conscious of your consciousness. Very, very brilliant title. Are we conscious of our consciousness or we are conscious of our activities? We have to be conscious of our activities, but simultaneous with the activities, we have to be important with the consciousness. Because if we go to see, most of our activities from the mundane point of view is similar to karmis. They also sell something in the trains. We also sell books in the train. Same thing. Selling. What's the big difference? The karmis go out for a job. People like us, we go out and do a job. Same thing. And many of you are involved in BBT work, and many of you are editors. There are many editors in the world who are doing editorial work for many magazines. What's the big deal? What's the difference? But what makes a difference is the consciousness. Otherwise, might as well, all the activities become, they could be mundane. As mundane as it can be. If there's no eagerness. And even coming to temple and being in front of the Lord could be a very mundane activity, ritualistic activity. I remember, when I was a karmi, I had many friends. Every day, they must go to the temple. It was a rule. Even if they are late in office, even if they have a big meeting, they say, no, I cannot break this rule. They would go. They would go in front, do something, tick, tick, tick. And they said that we cannot leave the temple unless we sit. That was a ritual. So they would just touch, their back portion, touch to the seat and get up and go. Literally, they would touch it for 1 second. And that's how we were all born. We're just ritualistically doing things. What is the consciousness? Zero consciousness. Just doing it for the heck of doing. And if we come to Radha Gopinath Mandir, we come in, we offer obeisance to Prabhupada, and we come here and offer deities, and you might see the deities in a proper way. First Gauranitai and then Gopinath going from down to up. And all this rules and regulations, but we could be very, very karmakandi in doing this. If there is no love, if there is no eagerness. So when Prabhupada is saying that we could become pure and get rid of all sinful our material desires, when simply by visiting the temple and seeing the deity, it is not just by doing the external activity. We have to actually see the deities. Not just see somebody standing. So that's the important part of. And the whole purpose of why we are doing what we are doing is to please Krishna, because only if when we have darshan of Krishna and when Krishna is pleased, we will become purified. The whole idea is to please Krishna. Whether we are chanting his holy names, we are honoring his prasadam, we are having his darshan, it's to please Krishna. And it is important to understand how to please Krishna. And Krishna is not a very easy person to be understood. And there's a beautiful meditation which I came across, written by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, which is a very, very powerful meditation, wherein he's addressing this meditation to the Lord. He says, "My dear Lord Shyam, you are so complex," he's saying the first line. "You're so complex and so difficult to reach. But what comes is so inspiring. Please pay attention to what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is saying. The learned scholars with all their studying cannot know you, but the illiterate Brahman who stood publicly shedding tears on the pages of Bhagavad Gita knew your profound magnanimity, for you personally embraced him." This is quite strange. Krishna is pleased by not the scholars of the Brahmanas, but an illiterate Brahmana. He knew Krishna perfectly. So the Pandit chanted sacred mantras from dawn to dusk, but their prayers never reached your ears. Haridas, the outcast, chanted so sweetly that you personally came to his hut to keep him company. This is amazing. Krishna is not a very predictable person. Krishna is an unpredictable person. The way he does things are very unpredictable and unconventional. In the most magnificent temples, pujaris perform elaborate rituals, worshipping you with costly cloth and priceless jewels. For all their effort, they may not even get a smile. Advaita Acharya offered you a little Ganges water and some tulsi. You were so pleased that you personally descended just to fulfill his request. Amazing, isn't it? Unconventional. Wealthy businessmen build large schools, hospitals and orphanages to get your attention. For all their effort, they are rarely noticed by you. Madhavendapuri, who never even asked for food, was sought out by you so you could personally ask him for some sandalwood pulp. Everybody does big things to be noticed. But Madhavendapuri was not wanting to even ask food. He was wanting to so unnoticed. But he noticed and asked him to get me sandalwood. Powerful kings feed thousands of brahmanas and villagers, hoping to attract their attention. Sridhar Kolovich offered you a few banana leaves with such devotion that you came personally to eat his food. Most people wait until they are old and worn out to consider renunciation. They then try to give something to you, only after they are no longer able to extract any use from it. Prahlad Maharaj gladly offered youth, and you reciprocated by personally protecting him in the most dangerous and difficult situation. Some yogis adhere strictly to their vows of celibacy all their lives, performing great austerities to attract you or receive some boon. They are lucky if they get even a glance of you. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a magistrate involved in worldly affairs. He was a householder with a dozen children. However, his service and his bhajan were so pure that you personally appeared to him. Ascetics undergo severe hardships, wearing very little cloth and eating only on occasions. With all their effort, they may not even reach Brahmaloka. King Pundrika was dressed opulently and ate most sumptuously, captured your heart so intensely that you personally cried out for his association. So this is how we please the Lord. And if all this situation that Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is mentioning, what is it special in those devotees who attracted the Lord's mercy? The great love and the great eagerness they had to please. That's why the Lord is attracted. So let us all really understand from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, and of course from this particular verse of Chitraketu, that if we want to really have this situation, all of us, I'm sure, want to have a situation at the end of our life to see the Lord face to face. Am I not right? We all want it, right? And we will not get it unless and until we are really eager throughout our life. The price we have to pay for that darshan. When we go to Tirupati Balaji, we pay a heavy price. We stand long queues and then we get darshan for 1 minute. Right? Similarly, we have to pay a whole lifetime standing in the queue to serve the Lord, to at last in the end get the darshan of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. And to end my class, we'd like to just share with you a small story of how, what is real absorption in the Lord's form. It is said, there was a beautiful story of Vrindavan, that Shridama Sakha, who is a very, very close friend of Krishna, was saying that, Krishna, when we are together in the daytime, it is very nice. It's great fun to be with you. But in the evening, when we have to go to our respective houses, it is so difficult to be in separation from you. It's so difficult. We are eagerly waiting for the next morning to come. So Krishna, please, I request you to kindly give me a small painting of yours. Because that time there were no digital cameras that Shridama could shoot a photo and keep it with him. He said, Krishna, please give me a painting. And Krishna said, fine. So he went to Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, please give me a painting. Mother Yashoda said, for what? I said, well, Shridama wants my painting. And she didn't take it seriously. Then Krishna asked again and again. Then Yashoda said, okay, fine. So she called for Chitra Sakhi from Chikshauli, which is near Barsana. She's an expert painter. I said, Chitra Sakhi, please paint a beautiful painting of Krishna so that I can give this, so he can give the painting to Shridama Sakha. So Chitra Sakhi and Krishna said, well, I'm not going to be sitting like a portrait here. You just see me and then you paint my in my painting. I'm not going to be sitting in front of you. So Chitra Sakhi said, don't worry, I will go to Barsan, I'll go to Chikshauli and do the painting. And then every time she would close her eyes to focus on a form of the Lord. Because if you want to paint something, you have to focus on a form of the Lord, a particular form. Every time she would close her eyes, hundreds and thousands of forms would come in her mind. And because she was so Krishna conscious that all the different passions of the Lord would just come in her mind and she was not able to paint. And she tried again and again and again. She would close her eyes and because if you want to paint, you had to have one form. She was in big difficulty. It was a service given to us, her, and she could not do it. Now, so she went to Muchagaon to meet Lalita Sakhi. And because Lalita Sakhi is the leader of all the Sakhis, she said, please tell me, I've got this service, and it's a problem. see the problems of the gopis. See the problem of these devotees, the pure devotees. I said, I'm not able to focus on one form of Krishna. There are so many hundreds of forms that come in my mind. So Lalita Sakhi said, the reason is because you are not taking the blessings of Srimati Radharani to do this service. Let us both go to Barsana, take a blessing and see what happens. Then both went to Barsana and she took the blessing. And then of course, she could completely focus on the form of the Lord. She did a painting and of course the painting was given to Shridama Sakha. A very sweet and small story. But what does it show? That how we should be so Krishna conscious. And you know, of course, the stories are nice to hear. But the main purpose of the stories is not just, oh, Vrindavan is so nice. It's just to make us feel how fallen we are. And how far we are from the situation. And when we close our eyes, what happens? What comes in our mind? We are flooded with some thoughts, but of what we don't want to say. When we close our eyes, my God, what happens? Luckily, that's where we keep our eyes open and have darshan of the Lord. That's our only hope. Then we focus on the Lord's form. So let us really understand the great signs of Krishna consciousness. The signs of eagerness, the signs of desperation, and to put it in Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's words to end the class, the signs of emergency consciousness. We should all be in the emergency consciousness, and that's what the consciousness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj taught us. When there's emergency, you cannot relax. When sirens have been blown around, none of us have seen wars. At least, you know, maybe Radhakund Prabhu must be the only person who must have seen. None of us, we are born after 72, there were no wars in India. But I remember my parents saying that there were sirens being blown, there was whole blackout, and there were flights being flying around with sound. And that time, when there's emergency, you cannot just, you know, be doing things. You have to be very, very sure, because every moment is very important. Because it is emergency. Similarly, if we should have that emergency consciousness every time. Because there's lots to do and a very short time. Only 30 more years. For many of us. We are all in our mid-20s or late 30s or maybe early 30s or many of us much beyond. Very short time and a long way to go. So let us be in this emergency consciousness. So whatever we are doing, let us do it with utmost focusness, utmost eagerness, utmost desperation, and utmost love. To whatever extent we can. Whatever is there at our disposal. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or any comments? Any? We are really missing our senior brahmacharis. They all are around. It's a fact that without the devotees, the Lord doesn't have any beauty. The Lord beauty is in His devotees. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.